What is up? It is Tuesday, May 8th, and it's time for episode 41 of Inside the Game. I'm DJ Wheat, joined as always by pain user Idra in In Control. And just moments ago, because the before show antics here are never disappointing, we saw pain user swiping around his room like a wild man doing some sort of a dance, and there was a bee in his room. Did you get that bee?
Nah, he's still in here somewhere. He might make a cameo appearance during the show.
It's a she, I'll have you know.
I'm worried. Oh.
We need to show up on Team Liquid, otherwise people won't know
about
it.
Oh my god, thank you. Sorry, I'm not quite feeling myself today. I think I got the sickness that everyone else got.
You're feeling yourself every other day?
You got down with the sickness?
Definitely feeling myself every other day, for sure, pain user. For
sure. All right.
Feeling myself.
You got down with the sickness.
Down with the sickness, indeed, man. I'm turning it on, though, Jeff, so that I can avoid the 20 messages that were like, I never know the show is on if I don't look at Team Liquid. So there you go. They do. They say it to me like it's like they can not. I mean, I don't know how these kids like keep a schedule. How do they go to school? I don't know if it's fucking time for first period unless it's tattooed to my hand. I don't know.
No, they go by Team Liquid for that, too. They have their right. Schedule memorized in KST.
I get to class at 17 KSET.
Oh, that's funny. What's up, guys? How you been this week? How are things?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Just got back from a barbecue with a bunch of friends in Palo Alto. It's really fun.
Bay life, man.
Bay life all day, dude. San Francisco Giants, baby. Woo! World champs. World champs.
Greg, Jeff, how have you been this week? Bay life? I don't know. It's like a San Francisco thing, but then it's from... I hear it all the time now from the League of Legends team, the solo mid.
It's just like something we say in the Bay Area to justify stupid shit. Like, pretty much.
There you go. That sounds like just such a logical explanation. It makes so much sense now.
Being able as long as you have justification.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It'll be useful.
How you guys been, Greg?
I spent the weekend over in California for the NASL show match, which was really awesome until the actual games happened. The NASL treated us really, really well. I actually like got fat because they kept bringing us out for food and stuff.
Nice.
So they're trying to turn around that false perception, sort of.
Did they?
Yeah, I don't know why NASL gets such a bad rap. They're doing a really, really good job this season. Like, they've always treated players awesome, and now they really have the production value. It's a great tournament.
Did you get to drive a tractor?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You mind?
I did the mining out segment, yeah.
Yeah, how was it?
It was actually really cool. Like, I thought I was going to be worried about dying and stuff, but once you get up there, it's just kind of fun. Like, you're moving around this big-ass piece of equipment.
Yeah, how powerful do you feel with, like, something that could crush
really
a human being?
Yeah, it was like, well, it's kind of on the other guys to make sure they don't get run over, so just do whatever you want, as long as you don't, like, tip it over. It was
fun.
And I did really, really well. I like, set the new record, but then Moro beat me by, like, a little tiny bit right after. I think it's not fair because he got to go second.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a Moro thing. Like
I watched that, and I don't understand how Moro beat you with the slip-up at the end there. It looked like he dropped half the dirt load.
His first scoop was, like, gigantic. It was about half my pile on its own. And then his second one sucked. And then the third one, he did that and ended up being close.
Greg, just, you know, because the world wants to know, if this same challenge happened between pain user and in control, who would win?
Oh, Jeff, definitely.
Jeff would win.
Except, actually, no. It actually wouldn't happen. Jeff wouldn't fit in the cab of the thing.
Like,
it was pretty tight for me. No, it was tight for me. Like, my legs barely fit under the wheel.
Then I would not fit in that thing.
Yeah.
Well, pain user's like 8 feet
tall. I probably wouldn't
tall,
either.
Right? Like, by default.
Fit in all, sorry, I probably wouldn't either.
You have to have a specially designed front loader for them to do it.
Neither can win. Well, that's too bad.
It's definitely a niche market for cat and construction vehicles. And anyone over like 6'5". I don't think they make those.
Probably.
It's like not caterpillar, it's like tarantula. That's the company that makes the gigantic fucking tractor.
The mammoth mover.
Tired of those goddamn tiny cabs for those tractors? We at Tarantula have made ones for the bigger people. That'd be awesome.
Sell like hotcakes, man.
Yeah.
I know this has nothing to do with StarCraft 2, but any of you guys see the Avengers this weekend?
Yes. Yeah. Saw it last night. It was amazing. It was
sick as shit, man.
Like, I liked it. My it's problem, good. Though. Okay.
Oh wait, you've got problems? There. You got problems?
It's not like I didn't expect this going into it.
They didn't
it.
Show Scarlet's ass enough? Yeah, I got problems, too. All
right, Wheat.
What? All right. No, seriously.
The Avengers are imba as fuck. Like, Hulk doesn't actually have a weakness. It's just kind of a matter of when he gets around to killing everybody. Thor, they don't really explain. He's just kind of a god, so it's like he gets knocked around. And there's even a scene where it's funny that he gets punched by the Hulk.
Yeah.
And then the villain is Loki, who's really good at the mouth, but when he starts fighting... Kind of gets his ass handed to him, and they're like, "We'll unleash this army on you that will literally take you hours to kill."
By the way, no spoilers.
Hand-to-hand combat-wise.
And honestly, like, who at the end of the movie was waiting for the guy that told Loki explicitly, "If you cannot conquest Earth, like,
no
I'm
spoilers,
gonna come fucking
no spoilers, pain user."
Okay, my bad. But I was waiting for that guy to come handle Loki, and I totally agree. Loki and Thor not being able to hurt each other. Couldn't be less excited when those two are fighting. It's like, oh, psh, yeah. Ow.
God, you guys read way too much into this shit.
Well, there's no, like, suspense. You know what I'm saying?
It was fun, but it wasn't exciting at all. Like,
yeah,
the bad
it was super fun.
The bad guys were very underwhelming. And
Robert Downey killed it, though. Robert Downey spoiler. Killed it.
Did you guys see Avengers this weekend? Yeah. Can't say anything about it.
Yeah.
Here's the fucking clue for you guys. The Titanic sinks. Saving Private Ryan. He's an old man at the end. Probably means he lived. But guess what? It's not Tom fucking Hanks. And I'll have you know that he was dead the whole time.
You know what? The honest truth is that I could tell you in a detailed fashion exactly what happens in that movie. But until your eyes get sexually aroused by the awesomeness that is the action that happens like every 5 minutes... Then there's no such thing as a spoiler for the movie. It's freaking awesome, dude. It's like nonstop in your face.
Never gets the carpet back, okay?
What? God, I'm halfway through it, Jeff. I stopped watching it last night. I was like, someone was like, you should check this movie out. It's pretty good. I thought maybe. No. God.
The dude abides.
God. Son of a bitch. Word. Let's talk about StarCraft. Guys, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say about this because it was 2 weeks ago that we were actually talking about how we were all doomed, man. That we are all doomed. And then yesterday, in like what must just be really, I think, a very calculated move by Blizzard. They released the following information.
Guess who called that shit?
That...
Yo, we're going to release a bunch of Brood War features in an expansion to our new game, so you have to buy it. Yes.
Yep, here's a list of some of the features we're planning to release at or around the launch. It says at or around. Do you want to hear the features first, or do you want to bitch?
I hit it, but I did not inhale.
No, I mean, say the features.
Okay, here are the features.
Now, dude.
Spoilers, we're going to say the features.
We're going to say, I know you haven't read this thread before, but here it comes. Multiplayer, resume from replay. Okay, cheers. Some guy on the team likely figured that out like a few months. Global play, which does sound like at least a cross play, which is probably just going to be more convenient for you guys, right? Because...
Well, that could be either fucking amazing or absolutely useless. Like, if they fix the latency, if they're working with the network code and they figured out how to allow you to play on Korea from NA in good latency, then that's absolutely gigantic.
Useless is too strong language, though, Greg, because at least we'll save, like, $180 buying fewer...
Won't you actually save a ton of time, like, switching? Isn't it a pain in the ass every time there's a patch having to redo all that bullshit?
Yeah.
No, there's this Chinese program called Bigfoot or whatever that you just choose what server you want to go to. Yeah. I guess catching might mess with it, but I don't think it does.
Okay.
Right. Yo, did any of you notice that Greg and Jeff's webcams have swapped quality?
No, it's weird.
It's fine.
It's weird. It's fine. Now Greg's is back to normal.
No, it's not.
I noticed.
Really?
In addition, multi-language support. Really thrilled about that.
Sweet.
The clan group system.
I'm not understanding what everyone's saying.
I
know.
It's rough. The clan group system. Unranked matchmaking, which I'm not even sure what the logistics behind that are, and multiplayer replay viewing. So, Jeff, you sounded like you wanted to sound off right away. What do you have to say? First and foremost,
these are great things. Like, that's the bottom line. These are all good.
Wait, is unranked matchmaking, like, what?
Oh, well, no one gives a shit about that.
What like, is that's... great about it? I'm just wondering.
That's good for people who have ladder anxiety or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that even like a thing? Is that?
Oh yeah, people freak out about it.
Absolutely,
it's a documented scientific thing.
Yes. Anyways, I think they're great. I think the global play, like Greg said, obviously latency is still an issue, but in this world of like not having LAN support, this is a step forward. This means you don't have to buy three copies of the game to play the different servers. This does mean that if you do have a good connection, which some people do, you can actually play Korea or Europe and get a pretty damn good training experience. That's good. The best thing for me is the multiplayer replay view, and that sounds silly, but actually, how many times do you watch a tournament where they're casting replays and they have to do so much stupid shit, and sometimes even after the stupid shit, it still wanders out, and it really just drags down the quality of the cast? Well, now you can sit in the replay together, but let's get even outside of casting. It's just fucking awesome. Like, we spent a lot of time in Brood War saying, hey, Greg, come over here, watch this replay. I'd host, we'd both watch it and talk about it, and that is so much easier. If you're online with your buddies, then it is like what we have to do now, which is like watch my stream. Now watch this. Okay, there's a delay, so
we're gonna sync right here. Here
it comes.
We're
gonna send you the replay. Let's watch it at the same time. Like that's so terribly annoying. And to now be able to just simply host and to watch it together means that the Battle.net social experience got better, the professional casting experience got better, and training is easier now because DeMuslim could be like, hey, check out this Protoss, and he hosts the replay, and I watch it, and he's like, wow, this guy's really good. What do you think? And we talk about it, as opposed to, like, I mean, it's easier for us to layer, because I could actually just wheel over there and talk about it there, but, like, for people that don't live together playing StarCraft, this is amazing. So it's really good.
I think, you know, for me, one of the big things, and I know chat is already talking about it, the multiplayer resume from replay, like, as someone who's, you know, always like trying to play to get better. There's so many situational things that happen that because you couldn't put like, you know, 15 hours a day into the game, it's just you may not see those situations again. And there's always been those battles where I'd be like, God, I just wish I could resume from this moment and just like play out this battle one more time to see if I had the right units and the right, and I just fucked it up or whatever. And we don't know the true details of what exactly that will be, but I'd say just from like a learning tool, that could be an incredible thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Pain user, you want to throw down any thoughts on this? I mean, this is kind of like, I mean, it's great news for us in terms of bringing new people in and creating new ways that people can.
I think it's all great. I think it's all, I mean, Jeff said it, they're all great additions. The only thing I don't really like is how they're sort of packaging these things into Heart of the Swarm and releasing it into the new game as sort of like a must-buy kind of thing, and StarCraft II is going to lack all those features. I think these are features that Blizzard should have absolutely tackled and dealt with just on-site. As soon as everybody started complaining about them, the whole community was behind all of these things. They've got to have been hearing about all
That's
this
a good
for
point. They should have
quite some time. Yeah, absolutely. I think they should have tackled these. And also, you know, it's like, these aren't the features that I want to hear about from Heart of the Swarm. I want to hear about new gameplay mechanics. I want to hear about the matchups, how they're changing the game itself. This is all like independent things, you know, supporting their client, you know? It's just not what I'm looking for at all as a player.
So, I mean, are you actually not like excited at all about
them? No, I think they're all great things. I'm excited. Well, I wouldn't say I'm excited about them. I'm surprised that they weren't dealt with earlier, and I'm surprised that they're bundling it into a new game and announcing them as like features of the new expansion. I mean, those aren't features of Heart of the Swarm. They're making their client better, and that's cool.
What did you say, Greg?
Yeah, I saw in a thread, actually, I saw a pretty good comment. It's like Blizzard's upgrading from Battle.net 0.2 to 0.5 and making it safe for it, and everyone's celebrating. Like, these are really good features, but I'm pretty sure every single one of these was in StarCraft I's Battle.net, which was programmed 10 years ago, and they're pretty crucial to enjoying your online experience with the game. And it's
really
kind of like, these are really good things. It's great that Blizzard's actually getting it done, like that we're going to have these things in the game now, but it's just inexcusable that it's taken this long to get up to the bar they set 10 years ago. and to then make us pay another $60 for it if we want it. Like, obviously all of us are going to buy part of the storm anyway, but for a more casual player, they just now have a shittier experience unless they want to spend more money on a new game. So,
okay, do you guys remember, because, and I know this like isn't really justification, I'm reaching here a little bit, but was Warcraft 2 originally didn't have multiplayer, did it? Like, Battle.net was added to it.
There was a third part. No, not in the program. I think there was a third-party like, client where you could, like,
there was a right. There was a way to do it, like, IPX or
I think you could do dial-up, too. I think
yeah.
You
could do dial-up as well.
And then they actually ended up adding Battle.net to the game, if I'm not mistaken. I'm actually trying to find it on the...
What's your point, though?
My point is that, like, you know, they've done it before. Like, they've built the infrastructure, put it into their game. I can't help but thinking there's a little bit of Activision shining through here.
Absolutely.
You know?
Certainly.
Absolutely.
We're lucky that it's not like Heart of the Swarm. Guess what, guys? Replay with friends? $5.95 DLC. Which, actually, it is DLC. It's just packaged into a $59.99 package.
I like this discussion, though, because I'll tell you, like, I'm a, as much as I'm kind of known for my criticism, I actually, like, as a consumer, I'm pretty blind optimistic, so going into this, I was just like, oh, yeah, it's a great idea, but actually what Taylor and what Greg was saying is, like, really spot on. Actually, I think, obviously, we're still happy that these things are being put in, but the fact that they're all coming out at the same time, they're all coming out with HOTS, they're detracting from the attention that should be going on, and they're being used as a marketing tool, which is something I did predict a while ago. Which is not that amazing of a prediction, because it's pretty obvious that they're going to do this, but that we need to hold them accountable for that. Like, they need to get negative feedback for that, enough so that when in the future, because we still have Legacy of the Void, and we still have, you know, hopefully 2 decades of StarCraft II or whatever, they need to know that this shit should not work on this community. Like, that downloadable crap that's in the FPS community, that shit plagues them. Every time, like, Call of Duty has a new map pool come out, it, like, puts them all in flux. And everyone has to go out and spend the $10-15 or whatever. And they're getting dinked and donked all over the place for that. And I don't, that just won't stand in StarCraft 2. But this is like the beginnings of that.
I don't know if you can really blame Activision for it. Because, I mean, Blizzard is a company. Their goal is to make money. This is a really good way to make money. If we're going to go ahead and buy it, then that's just encouraging them to keep behaving that way. And it's smart for them to do it. Like, you have
to
tell.
Yeah, it's smart.
By the way, people say that it is confirmed that you do get, like, this is a Battle.net upgrade. So apparently these, you know, regardless of whether you purchase Heart of the Swarm or not.
Yeah, again,
the features will be in there. Right.
Oh, you don't have to buy it to get it?
No, if you want, you were like, damn it, I'm staying on Wings of Liberty forever.
Okay. That's a billion times better. It's still terrible that they are so incompetent that it took them this long to introduce these features that they've already had in their same service that they provided for their older games. So that's really bad. But if you don't have to pay for it, it's at least much better. And they're at least still working on it.
$40. I didn't know that either. I honestly didn't. $39.99 for
the expansion pack for Heart of the Swarm.
Well, that's something. That's good, and they deserve credit for that. Like, I was expecting $60. I could have seen them just saying a separate game, $60.
You know, there's also this thing that I do, right, where I like to look at a game that I purchased, and I like to break it down and say, how much per minute did this game cost me to play? And let me tell you, man, there are so many freaking games that are way high, you know, like I spent $60 for it, I put 5 hours into it.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you how many hours. I wish there was a timer in my StarCraft 2 so I could open it up and look. But
there was a way to figure out how many games you had played, or how many hours of StarCraft 1 you had been either logged into or played. And I looked it up once,
for
and
us,
it was just scary.
We can't do that.
It's scary stuff.
It's a different model. Like, I'm not complaining about the money spent buying, because I will buy it. If StarCraft 2... Heart of the Swarm costs $350. If it cost $1,000, I would buy it.
I would buy it.
But maybe I wouldn't, because nobody else would, and I'd be like the only guy there. But the point I'm trying to make is, like, obviously, for hours to the ratio of spending it, amazing, obviously.
Yeah.
But one thing that they deserve credit to for as well, and it's a really smart political move, is that by giving global play, like, that really only benefits the competitive players. Like, no casual guys are going to be like, I'm going to go check out Korea because I want to see how their culture is with StarCraft. Like, nobody does that. To make it so we don't have to buy extra copies is really good, because they're going to still sell. Like, that's a fraction of their sales, right? Like, they're not like, our competitive players make up 70% of our sales. No. it's like less than 1%, you know, so it's, this is good.
The only thing that really, like, slightly irks me is just marginalizing our current experience for a future release. That's the only thing about it that really bothers me, is, like, these things are so simple, we've been complaining about them for so long, and they really do make the experience for everyone so much better. And multiplayer replays is just, like, that's huge.
I'm not sure if you can say it like that. Maybe I'm just not cynical enough, but I find it hard to believe that they're actually keeping these out just to make it better later. I think they're actually incompetent, and they didn't do that.
I don't know, man. You think it's just coincidence they're all releasing with Art of the Swarm at the same time?
Oh, yeah, it's not. It's definitely a marketing thing. It's just to get that little extra oomph to the people that were like,
I can't imagine
that much.
Like, they would take out things that basic and leave them out for, what, a year and a half, 2 years?
No. I don't think they'd take them out. I think they just, like, they probably finished development, like, 6 months ago and were like, well, rather than release it now, let's just do it with Heart of the Swarm to give it more sales.
That I can believe.
Absolutely. It's like a bundle package of awesomeness.
But
I'd imagine they work on it for a while.
Point, like, he's right. These things should have been tackled right away. Like, the second someone goes, people can't watch replays together, they should have been like, what the fuck? Why don't we have that? And then someone should have been like, we just didn't have the technology! And then they just throw that guy out of the room, and then they just do it. Should have been a year and a half ago. We could watch replays together. I agree with that kind of stuff.
The most mind-boggling thing is just that they had it in their own service.
Yeah, they had it.
The same service in their older games. No, it's just not there.
That is mind-boggling to me.
Well, that guy that was sitting down at the development table and was like, that's the feature that we're not going to carry over to StarCraft 2. I hope it's just long gone.
It was the same guy who also suggested that StarCraft 2 should work with just one button. It was just like, why do you need right-click? Let's make everything work with left-click. Yeah, it was a total disaster. They fired that guy, but still somehow they managed to get taking out replays with friends. So, all right. Well, I'm happy to hear about it. They also announced with this, it is official that we are going to be seeing Heart of the Swarm. It was kind of speculated, the worst kept secret, that it was going to be at MLG Anaheim. It of course will be. And then there was some other news. It was the worst kept secret. Let's be honest, along with Brood War players playing over there. But additionally, we will be releasing news in the next few weeks about how your participation in the upcoming arcade 1.5 beta can win you chances to get into the upcoming Heart of the Swarm multiplayer beta test. So for those out there, I'm not sure if the upcoming Arcade 1.5 had something to do with like PTR or something to that effect. They talk about it in this thread, but I'm sure a lot of people will be looking to jump on the beta, and hopefully will get beta.
What's the arcade beta?
I don't
know what that is.
No.
Did you say arcade beta?
It says arcade 1.5 beta. That's what it says. Let me.
I have no idea what.
I'm going
usually that means like skeletal in the gaming world. Like
I'll be right
back. If you have an arcade console, it has like very little memory and it can just play games basically.
So is it like a shitty version of Heart of Swarm or what?
That would be my assumption.
Hmm. Well, I see a lot of.
Chat keeps saying 1.5.
1.5. Yeah,
thank
like PTR, right? Yeah, 1.5. But
thank you.
Oh, the arcade is the new custom map system. That's what they're calling it?
That's a terrible name for that.
Yeah.
That is a terrible name for that.
Huh. I don't know.
I'd like to make Star Strikers more popular.
Yeah. Dude, we had another intense Star Strikers game yesterday.
Star Strikers game are always either intense or silly one-sided.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They're so good. Or they start out so one-sided and somehow the other team just comes back like it's got some built-in balance going on there. I don't know, man.
It's like NFL Blitz.
It's totally incredible, man. It's one of the greatest I've played. All right, so hopefully this will work out for us, Blizzard. Go, and we'll be seeing you in a couple months here. In fact, it's coming up quick. God, it's almost 1 month away, Anaheim.
It is 1 month away.
Oh, Jesus, Greg, why'd you have to say that? It was like, in my head, it was like 1 month and a week, and then you made it.
That's MLG summer, or DH summer.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. God, okay. All right, so the World Cyber Games, you guys, they realized that they were wrong.
Oh, my God.
They realized that maybe it wasn't a good idea to scrap all of the PC games and go just mobile. So they have apologized officially.
Really?
Yes. I don't
Yeah.
Like, did they actually apologize? Or did
yes,
they
but, actually apologized.
I mean, apologize! Like, apologize!
After like 07, 06 WCG, it all went downhill. And then last year, the last year they did it, Ichi had to fucking pay money to send, like, they paid their way to send players. And that doesn't sound like that big of a deal. Okay, travel, lodging, okay. But then it's like a $1,000 fee to play in the tournament.
Like, it's actually worse than that, because, like, me and Huck didn't even qualify. The countries, like, USA and Canada were just like, well, we're not going to put up the money to send the players. We're not even going to pay the fee. And EG was just like, well, okay, well, we have the money. Our players are going to be in Korea anyway. We'll take the spots. So, like, there were no qualifiers. It was just so illegitimate and bad. Yeah.
So, like, okay, WCG's like, all right, we fucked up even harder and announced that we were going to play really shitty games, like, you know, really bad. Turns out the gaming community has the, like, an inkling of care of still about WCG, and they're like, that's really bad. They're like, oh, so sorry. So we'll run another turn. Like, they've got a lot of healing to do. Like, they've got to go under completely new management where someone comes out and says, we're going to return back to what it was, which was figuring out the world champion of a video game. And we're going to make it glorious and awesome. And I think in this day and age, with StarCraft II, with LoL, with these games that are attracting hundreds of thousands of people, millions of viewers, it's the perfect time for a giant commercial like WCG, where you advertise your games.
Yeah.
And you play a great competition that people can get behind. But if you're not going to put your fucking backbone into it, then get the fuck out. I don't care.
You know, Jeff, though, this is actually a really interesting topic, because I feel like there are a lot of organizations... There are a lot of event organizers before WCG even who were, quite frankly, too ahead of their time. You know, what WCG was did, like, created a massive legacy and was the Olympics of esports for so long.
Yeah.
But just imagine if all that money had been saved up until, like, 2009. And that's when, you know, WCG began.
I mean, it's not just that. It's, like, it's got to really suck for... guys like Greg and Jeff who competed at WCG, and that was like all they had in Brood War as a competitive outlet, and then they just took a massive dump on
I've said before that last year was like a good transitional period for me. Like in Brood War, like you said, it was absolutely everything. It was the only competition foreigners really got every year up until the end, and that was just absolutely everything. We practiced all year for that, and it was hugely important to us. But then last year was just so terrible. It's like, okay, put it out of its misery. I'm ready for it to be gone. I don't want to see that happen again. So I would actually be absolutely fine if it just went away. Like, if they come back and do a terrible job again, it's just, like, disrespecting the memory of WCG.
Right.
I mean, like, to give people an idea of, like, how important... I mean, they've all probably heard my stories where I talked about how, like, my mom scrapped together money to send me to Florida to win that big thing, and it was, like, this big deal. The prize was, like, $2,000 or $3,000 plus a $1,000 gift card, an Xbox, $1,000 and other prizes, like... At that time, for a Brood War player, that was a fortune. It was like the most important thing
that
ever.
Didn't happen. Yeah.
And like they did such a, they were at nice hotels for the most part. They were usually at like theme parks, Universal Studios. It was the only time for players to see each other. It's hugely important to us. So for that to go downhill, and then for them to just take shits on the gaming community over and over again the last couple years, I just have to, like, what Greg said is so true. Either die and go away, or come back and do what you used to do, because you have, like, MLG kind of asserted themselves as, like, the new WCG in the United States. Like, that's how important it is, and that's kind of the, like, attention it gets. But the funny thing about WCG is I wouldn't be surprised if they could have a lot of that attention stolen right out from under their feet just because WCG has that, like, nostalgia factor if they were to do it correctly.
Yeah, if they could actually run a good tournament, they have such a leg up just because they are the Olympics of gaming. And anyone who's been in esports for a while knows it and has that respect for them. But I don't think they can make that big of a turnaround. I don't think they can actually become a good tournament that quickly. It's not going to happen.
I mean, Pain User, you come from at least like a, you know, a background of PC gaming, like,
but you never were
a competitor in WCG. So, like, I mean, are you indifferent about it?
I mean, it's not that I'm indifferent about it. It's just that, like, seeing them make that sort of a decision and just try to come back with an apology or something like that, if they really have to do it proper and they have to support the games that the community elects as opposed to making stupid decisions from the top about what games are popular. Like, who did the study on cell phone games that determined that was, like, the wave of the future for competitive esports? I mean, it's scary to me that they could do something like that. That's the only thing.
I'm pretty sure that was solely just because Samsung, WCG is Samsung, basically. They have
other sponsors,
but it is Samsung. And they saw that as the most direct promotion for their phones, the cell phone gaming.
Good lord.
Pretty sure that was it.
Yeah.
Samsung makes tons of other products too, though. I mean, that's, why not promote your
anything else? Well, again, that's what I'm talking about. It's a little ahead of its time, you know, because now it could be doing TVs and computers and other stuff like that.
Samsung operated at a deficit for like 6 years or something like that. So I'm actually like completely, like, I support them. I love them. And at the end, like, I could actually, you could almost physically see them throw up their hands at the end where they're just like, they started cutting shit and they're like, no, you know, we're going to just kind of go back and try to make our money. And doing a giant cell phone competition was not the way to do it. So good on them to be like, oh, wow, we're actually just going to lose more money that way. So they need to find some management. They need to find some group of people that are like, we do tournaments really well. Put their WCG flag on it. Give them the money. And it doesn't even have to be a $100,000 prize for some shit. Just has to, I mean, you know, for each game or something like that. It just has to be like 10,000 plus first place or something like that, and WCG, the World Championship.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
You will get the eyes, man. You'll get the eyes.
I agree with my co-host.
All right. Good job, WCG. Apology accepted. Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. All right. So you wanted to talk a little bit about Iron Squid Pain User, and I'm down to definitely talk about that as well. I mean, of course, Iron Squid has been going on for quite some time, but the finals were this past weekend. At what could probably be labeled as the largest and most comfortable looking theater I have ever seen and used in esports. I want to see if I can maybe find the Iron Squid pictures.
Like, first of all, how cool are the French? Like, who names the tournament Iron Squid?
and it had awesome. That like sort of
and then it blew me out of the water. Like, I was expecting, like, I hadn't heard anything about it. There wasn't that much marketing, not a lot of crazy hype. Next thing you know, you've got 3 levels of a full theater auditorium.
Amazing.
I think there's a lot more hype than you might think, actually.
And I was looking at Reddit posts. All right, well, it didn't find its way to me, at least in the West. None of my friends had really heard about it. I mean, we'd heard about it, but it wasn't like, we didn't know that there was going to be that much production value put into Iron Squid.
I think TL kind of failed on that. Like, TL didn't play very well at all.
Yeah, I thought it was absolutely amazing. I thought they did a great job. I thought the Nightwish knockoff metal band was absolutely hilarious. I just couldn't stop cracking up the whole time they were performing. And it was just solid. It was fun, free-flowing. They brought Elky out and a bunch of people. And the French fans were just really supporting everybody. And the best part about it was every time MMA or Nesty or Live or any of those guys came out on stage, everybody was just going ballistic. Yep. Anything they said. And it just had that, like, aura of epicness to it. And it was just really fun to watch. I enjoyed it.
Everyone involved, the fans, kudos to them. They were lined up outside, you know. Just what a great, like, inaugural event for a tournament. Iron Squid came out. That's their first. They're like, they did an online thing the whole time. And it's kind of underwhelming. Like, I watched it. Like, yeah, they had some cool graphics and great matches. But online tournaments just kind of always lose that excitement for a lot of people. And then they're like, yeah, we're going to do an offline final. And everyone's like, okay. And then they start seeing the pictures and shit. And they're like, holy crap. Amazing venue, great booths, all that stuff.
They sold out that whole place really early on, too. I guess they did a much better job of marketing it in France. But it looked incredible. Mm-hmm. I did get to watch most of it because I was at NASL. But it sounded really cool. And just, it seems like it was a really awesome event. I really hope they hold another one. Except they do the whole thing offline, so we get to go to experience that. It doesn't have the stigma of the online thing. It's like,
well, if it's...
And if it's, online, it's kind of perverted.
If it's any consolation, Greg, you had by far and away the best theme song.
Did I?
Yeah.
I didn't know theme songs.
They made, like, custom theme songs for each player.
That's
really
cool.
And yours was, like, the only electronic-themed one. It was pretty cool.
That's cool.
I think there's, like, a SoundCloud where they actually have all the players. If somebody could link it. Yeah. There's a SoundCloud that has all the players' tracks. When they came out or when they played games, they would play these epic tracks for players. Was
like,
cool.
Even, like, for all the players in the original tournament, like, even the ones who didn't get to the finals?
Mm-hmm.
That's nifty.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
They did a great job. I mean, there's not much more to say other than we're just all going to gush over it, I don't think. Like,
I have no
criticism. The casters were great. Yep. The, like, putting helmets and masks on the players was fun. the live audience or the live band between the two booths, the audience. It's just amazing. Just amazing job.
Yeah. I think next time around when they sync up the production, it'll just be even more amazing. Like there was some audio stuff and just some minor hiccups here and there. But I think for your first
event,
they were not at the venue either.
Oh, really? Those guys weren't even at the venue? They were remote?
As far as I know, I think that Apollo and Total Biscuit were remote.
Yeah, English stream. Yeah.
Right. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
I'm just talking, like, occasionally, you know, they'd have, like, the French casters going, and then you'd hear, you know, Apollo start talking with TB, and then they would, like, cross over each other, and they just a few audio hiccups here and there where you didn't really know what was going on. But other than that, I mean, it was perfect.
Okay, Apollo was at the good studio. TB was in the U.S., so.
That makes it pretty difficult. Like, it's understandable to have issues with that.
Yeah, that's rough to sync up. But they had all the video and all the, like, they were sending all of that, so it was pretty nice. So,
all right, here we go.
Stream. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks to whoever linked that in chat.
Well, there you go. There's the songs.
There it is.
Soul Blast.
Rod's passing along. Thud is watching our show right now, and he said it's an honor that we're talking about it.
Good job,
honestly,
Thud.
It's an honor that we're a part of the same community as you, man. That's like you kind of created magic.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, to come out.
France is the place that you're actually supposed to run a fucking tournament over there. Like,
yep.
Come out of nowhere.
Yeah, Sweden has a big audience.
Maybe they were a thing in France before. Like, I know the caster duo is pretty popular there.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, no one ran, like, this was the first Iron Squid event. And to come out nowhere and put on a show like that, that's really fucking impressive.
I hope.
And it's just, like, a testament to how quickly esports is growing right now. For satellite organizations to just be popping up on the globe and putting on productions like that, like, holy shit.
Oh, yes.
In 10 years.
Earlier on, like a startup organization putting on an event, it would have been absolutely terrible. Like, no one would have wanted to watch that because they know it's so incompetent. And then this, that's a huge turnaround.
I hope they present this to sponsors or whoever, or someone's attention was grabbed, because with that vision, with that dedication, those guys can do a lot, and I hope someone gives them the support to do that.
Amen.
France deserves esports, as far as I'm concerned, with that audience.
They've been around for a while.
If you can feel like a giant stadium. Absolutely.
All right.
Actually, back at ESWC was a terrible event, but that was in France. It had a pretty big audience. They were pretty enthusiastic.
The French caster's usage of "ooh la la" during micro sequences is also just the best thing. it's pretty funny. I was listening to the French cast a little bit too. It was epic.
Oh man, yeah. All the different little casting things. I actually would love to share a story right now, but I feel like because it's a League of Legends,
that
Jeff would like it, but I'm going to share it anyway, right? So, you know, recently League of Legends has a Korean tournament going on. And so the League of Legends fans have been getting a taste of what the Korean broadcasting is like. So there's a guy who casts in English as a Korean, and it is freaking hilarious. It is the funniest thing, and it's probably, like, better than any of the League of Legends casting I've ever seen before in my life. It's so funny. I'll find you guys an example and send it your way. Cool. Except for you, buddy.
Wait, if you haven't seen it yet, you need to look up the League of Legends Pentakill with Korean casters video.
Pentakill! It's just like plague.
Definitely one of the funniest things you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Korean casters can make anything exciting, man. I don't know what it is. It's just something about the way they stress their words and, like, they can just bring their energy level from zero to hero instantaneously.
Zero to hero, instantly, indeed. All right, well, did you want to talk about that other topic, Pain User? I mean, do you really?
If the community and we feel that it's necessary, I've already spoken about it with lots of friends and, like, other people.
This is the second time something like that has become a big issue for the community in, like, 2 weeks, so it's obviously something people care about.
Yeah, I mean, we should probably talk about it. Like, Reddit definitely plays a part in it. Destiny plays a part in it. Quantic. I mean, there's a lot of things that can be said. I think we should just open dialogue on it. Why not?
Sure. So, well, why don't you open it up, dude?
All right.
I mean, last week we touched on it a little bit.
Yeah. So Destiny, I guess, ended up you know, calling someone a gook after getting cheesed really hard in a ladder game. It is a racially charged comment. I do not think Destiny's a racist. I think he's a great guy in person. I can get along with him super easy. Greg is also one of the anomalies that's a super cool guy in person that has this, like, online persona that's not fitting of his personality. But anyway, Destiny's a cool guy in person. I think he just made a big mistake with his apology on Reddit, where he started pointing to Idra and other people for inconsistencies in the community. He thought the community should be being consistent in how we witch hunt and attack people. But overall, you know, he ended up losing his position with Quantic as a result of the community attacking, well, not necessarily attacking, but sending emails, charged emails to the sponsors, directly to the sponsors. And I spoke with some of the staff and the owner of Quantic, and, you know, they were getting, it was brought to their attention. The sponsors were mentioning it. So it was an issue, and Destiny ultimately lost his position with Quantic, or stepped down, as he said. And I think it's just a lose-lose for everyone. And we need to be really careful. I mean, the community has a lot of power in these situations, and I think we need to be careful how we wield it.
I mean, just throwing it out there, right? I mean, Destiny chose to step down, and we don't know what happened. But, you know, Jeff talked about it last week, about, you know, being careful about who you're going to first about this stuff. You know, who you're ultimately, like, taking these issues to. The community, directly to the sponsors, you know, we talked about overreacting. And honestly, I think in this particular scenario, this is an issue of strike one, strike two, finally someone takes note, and something does happen with it. And to be honest, like, I'm not surprised. I feel like even when Destiny joined Quantic, that I deep down said to myself that I'm not sure with the direction that Quantic wants to go, that it's even ever going to be a right fit. And I'm not even sure that Destiny is the right fit for any team but his own.
Yeah.
And I think even he has said that before.
That's certainly a possibility, but, like, I think it also needs to be said that Alex Garfield certainly, and I hate to call him out like this, but Alex Garfield white knighting the orb issue and setting the precedent for firing someone in this situation, I think also has a lot to do with it, because EG is, like, the forefront of Western esports right now, and firing someone like Orb and Destiny, I mean, I might be going out on a limb here, but I think both of these guys have value in their own right, and if you can educate them on what works and what doesn't in regards to the face of the company and how you represent them, I think you've got a lot of raw talent, and, well, in Destiny's case, you have something. You have a personality.
Nothing that draws attention.
Something that draws a lot of attention. And if you can take those two, bring them under the wing, and mold them into something that's super productive, as opposed to just ending their relationship with your team, you might have something special in the long run. So I don't know. I think the precedent was certainly set with Orb, and I think Quantic followed suit with Destiny. But
that goes right into my talking points, actually. I have two that I want to talk about, and I guess I'll start with that one because it's in response to that. But it is absolutely not fair to hold Alex Garfield responsible for that at all. I mean, yes, he's
white knighted that pretty hard on TL,
dude. Hang on.
All right.
There's two different ways. I mean, there's not two, but there's several different ways you communicate. And if you're the owner of a team like Evil Geniuses, you don't give full disclosure to everybody about everything. So, of course, he came out and said, like, look, this is intolerable, and we made a decision, and we're gonna separate ways. But the bottom line is our sponsors were contacted by a bunch of people, and they were given one-sided emotional stories about this guy, and they were said, I am going to stop supporting you because he is going around calling everyone the N-word and representing Evil Geniuses in the worst way possible. I will mail other sponsors. Like, and those sponsors, they care about that shit. They contact Alex and they say, I don't care what's going on. You need to fix this. So Alex doesn't then get online and go, oh, you know, hey, Orb, you can't do that anymore. I'm really sorry. Orb just got to the place. We have no, like, complete commitment to him. He's not branded by us yet. He's a fresh new guy. Why would you ever try to tackle that beast in the name of Orb? Like, Alex has his own company, his own mouth to feed. He's not going to risk that because he wants to set a good precedent with, like, sponsors being contacted. The guy's fired. He's gone. And that's the best, absolute only thing he could do given the deck of cards he was dealt.
I'm not talking about that per se. I'm talking about, like, mentioning his black studies degree and his personal beliefs on racism, and just, like, that's what I meant by the whole white knighting thing. I didn't mean.
That's pretty irrelevant. That's just how he handled the situation.
I know, but that's like what I was referring to. I totally agree with Jeff that like his hands were tied to an extent, and I think that's a result of going directly to the sponsors. Then it becomes a problem that has to be dealt with in a situation like that. So I think people need to be careful.
We've said it before on several different shows, and honestly, I've become almost complacent about it since the last time I bitched about this, because it's like there's actually people that just want attention, and they realize this is like the most latest and greatest way to do it. So I'm not even going to encourage people not to do it. Like they know they shouldn't, and if they're going to do it, there's no stopping them. It's absolutely their prerogative. But what I will say is that it's just it's got to be like a community action thing. But we're heading down a very dangerous path, and it's not going to be any one event. The next Destiny to get complained about is not going to all of a sudden start this like deck of cards collapse of the economy for esports. But what is going to happen is potential sponsors or existing sponsors are going to see an attrition-based scale of every time something happens that people don't like, the first thing they do is run to the sponsors and cry, the sky is falling, and like this is the worst thing ever. So sponsors are going to be like, well, the LOL guys don't do that. I'm going to go ahead and sponsor a LOL team. I'm going to put some money in a LOL tournament. Or, you know, those FPS kids, they sure run their mouths a lot, but at least they are not irresponsible about who actually pays the fucking bills. So I think I'll just go ahead and sponsor those guys. That stuff's going to start happening, and that can create a windfall. I mean, it does actually follow suit. Like, if it's too much trouble, do you think SteelSeries wants to be attached to a bunch of people that are saying, you're supporting racists, or this guy is spreading hate crimes, and your stuff is directly supporting them? No, that's like the Black Plague, man. No pun intended.
I think it sucks that we're throwing around terms like racist and, you know, all that crazy stuff. I think like everyone on all sides just totally overreacted, and I think you're right in the fact that the emails to the sponsors are the catalyst for what happened. That forces EG and Alex into a position of action, and I mean, there's only two avenues there, right? It's either try and deal with it by having them make like a formal apology to the community. And we don't know how that would have worked out because we haven't seen, and that's what I meant by setting the precedent for firing people.
In both situations, Orb and then Destiny were just, they handled it so poorly right off the bat. To then come out and apologize would look so two-faced and silly.
I agree.
They kind of eliminated that option for themselves.
On a personal level, they both kind of messed that up.
I think with this, there's like two main issues here. But as for the going to the sponsors thing, It seems weird to tell people not to do that because, yes, if someone is doing something wrong, if you don't want them to be representing esports and you think it reflects poorly on their team and their sponsors, then going to the sponsors is kind of – that's what happens in the real world. If someone messes up, you try and get them cut off. But here, it's just like it's such a new, fragile industry. And the thing is, when you go to the sponsors, they don't have any context. They don't know that Destiny is like this weird one-off thing that exists in our community that's completely unrepresentative of the rest of Quantic, besides Nanniwa, kind of.
Save Nanniwa.
Yeah, they don't see that. They just see, okay, this guy's causing us a lot of problems. There's much less stressful investments we can make with this money. Do we really want to keep supporting esports if this is what happens? They don't see it as a one-off thing. They don't see it as what it actually is. They see it as complaints. So, yeah, if you don't like what Destiny's doing, if Destiny's behaving inappropriately, then you should try and get him punished for that, or you should stop supporting him. But going to the sponsors is not a responsible way to handle that if you actually care about esports, if you actually want to make esports better. And a lot of people, when they do these things, they say that. Yeah, it's like, we're trying to mature the industry. We're trying to make it more professional. Don't you want to be professional? Then you shouldn't be calling people the N-word. But it's not going to exist if you try and handle it that way.
I'm of the personal belief that like doing things for the sake of esports is whatever. I think it just helps our community, period, to have these types of sponsors. And if we're going to bring in lifestyle sponsors, I mean, you've got to think right now in our community, there are lifestyle sponsors looking in from the outside. Definitely. And we're under the microscope, right? And they see all this shit and they don't want to get involved in something like that. I mean, it just pushes away the type of sponsors that we need to take this thing that we all love to the next level. And that's what really bothers me.
Yeah, if you see an ungrateful, obnoxious, immature, whiny community, do you really want to become involved with that? Or do you want to become involved with a community that polices itself and supports the people who support it? Like, tell Quantic to fire Destiny, and then tell Quantic sponsors that they did a good thing and they're now an awesome team and you love them, and you love Razer for supporting them.
I got a question from chat here. And by the way, I mean, it should be said that with the Vile, I mean, recently, because Quantic had sort of a rough week, right, with the Destiny thing, but then they had a bounce back where they did acquire Team Vile, a lot of players finding a home there, which is definitely good to see. But someone says this, and I think it's a good question. So the question is, why aren't teams setting up rules for certain behavior? If there's a policy to find racial slurs, Quantic could have reacted quickly by just saying Destiny will be fine. It would also show that as an organization, they don't agree. Hence, no need for overeager people to contact sponsors. Like, do you think that's enough? Do you guys have sort of...
Oh, yeah, I mean...
I mean, because I like to call it common sense, right? Like, I kind of feel like we don't necessarily even need rules, but...
Make no mistake, I think Quantic handled this very poorly. They did not come out and say in an effective time frame that this is something we're looking at. They did not say that behavior is unacceptable by our standards. And if they did, I didn't hear it. I read all the threads. Like, I didn't see it anywhere. So that's it. But as far as, like, EG is concerned, you get fined. If it's obviously something really egregious, you'll get fired if it's worth it. Like, you're out. There are players that have huge values. Like, obviously, Greg or a Huck has more leniency. But let's not forget, like, Huck tweeted something that was inappropriate. He was erased. He was in trouble. And he's not doing it anymore, right? You don't see that shit anymore. So, I mean, that's the way it works. But I want to talk about, like, to your point, Weed, I guess I would say, like, that should be enough. And then, like, the thing about, like, I don't like community justice in that way. Like, they shouldn't be like, this team I've decided is not acting fast enough or severe enough. So we've decided that we're going to contact the sponsors to get him fired. Like, no, stop watching his fucking stream. Stop retweeting his Twitter. Stop buying his shit. And then you tell Quantic, we're not buying your stuff anymore because of this. And if Quantic still doesn't do something, then guess what? They're a shitty company. And they're going to go away anyways. Like, do not ruin it for the rest of us that are doing a fucking good job and contact sponsors that perhaps sponsor other organizations, other aspects, tournaments, that kind of a thing. And make it destabilized for the rest of us that are doing a good job. That's why it's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing I want to talk about too is, let's talk about Destiny real quick for a second, because actually I think we'll almost all attest to this. He's a friend of mine. I hang out with the guy. I'm really, you know, he's a good guy. I like him.
Yeah, he's
not a racist. But one thing he is sometimes he's kind of a fucking idiot. And the funny part about the language he's used, which he's actually come out and said he's not going to do anymore, is it's not worth the time. Like, that's the problem I have. Like, if someone yelled at me, I really hate it when you use racial language. Unless I'm actually, like, some kind of weird, I like to argue about everything, or a racist, then I'll just be like, I can use other words. I'll call you a dipshit, a douchebag. Like, there is, like, other language you can use. And his, like, part of his argument is like, well, what if they start, like, subjugating those words? Then those people get ignored. They don't have the entire community behind them. But guess what? The N-word... Asian racial slurs, like the real lightning rod words, they do have emotional charge behind them. They do have history, and it's not worth defending them because you can use better words. So that's why the whole time when he's starting to say stuff like, how come, you know, these other words aren't being like questioned, and like this other guy called this other person a bundle of sticks, which is like context doesn't have to be a bad thing. Like, that's actually stuff that we used to do in the debate world because it was make-believe. Like, you would try to win an argument with those arguments, you know? But it doesn't function in the real world. If like, I hit on the guy's girlfriend, but I'm like, was I actually hitting on her? Like, maybe it's just that I find her charming and her jokes are all funny, and the guy's, like, just punching me in the fucking face. Like, I don't get to, like, lay there and go, oh, like, her pants fit her bottom very nice. Like, I thought it was cute. Come on.
Yeah, that's kind of the other aspect I was talking about earlier. I wasn't talking about the other aspect of the thing. Is to what extent is that behavior permissible? And then the way the community reacts to it actually kind of bothers me. It's like, if you're offended, do you really have to throw a massive hissy fit and go make something happen about it and be all self-righteous about everything?
Yeah.
I mean, his arguments get silly, and like Jeff said, just I don't see why he invests so much time in it. There's parts of my vocabulary the way that I talk when I get mad that aren't publicly acceptable. So I don't say those anymore just because it's not worth the hassle. I think language is like an evolving thing. Things have different meanings. When you say the F word, you're not actually talking about a homosexual. You're not using it as a slur in that way. But a lot of people find that offensive, so I just don't say it. It's not worth it. But is it really okay if that does bother you to then do all of this and go through all this, jump through all these hoops? I think that's really, really silly. But like Jeff said, it's not worth the hassle from Destiny's standpoint. He should just give it up and go stream and make more money.
Yeah. And like one thing I think that kind of should be said is that a lot of the people in the community have this perception. They're just like, you know, racism is ignorant. It cannot happen. Everyone needs to act professional 100% of the time. Like, okay, people are people, and they make mistakes. StarCraft is also a very frustrating game. Sometimes shit happens in games that frustrates you to a point where you might just say something stupid. And there's no question that these things that have been said by both of them are offensive. It's a stupid thing to say. It's ignorant. No one is arguing any of those points. But at the end of the day, I think everybody needs to just make the realization that humans are humans. We're human beings. Shit happens. People make mistakes. And I don't know if we should be ending people's careers or at least forcing them to lose their jobs over situations like this. That's the thing that really bothers me.
I fall somewhere in the middle of that. Like, if a person's going to defend using that language and actively wants to use it, and they're
in Destiny's case, that's just stupid.
Yeah, there's definitely two sides to it. I think our community way overreacts, but Destiny obviously handled it very poorly.
Oh, yeah, he shot himself in the foot.
And, I mean, unfortunately, like, literally everything that is said is put under a fucking microscope these days.
People
just
take it
out of context. Exactly. It's like, you know, people love to prove you wrong. I mean, we see it a lot just in the world of streaming, the way that the chat interaction goes. And, you know, on one hand, and I'm not trying to justify any sort of anything here, but I am just saying, like, there is a part of me that has accepted that this, unfortunately, is just the natural evolution of the fucking internet, you know, like another way, right? Because there was always going to be a forum where people were doing and saying things that I certainly wouldn't agree with, so I just didn't hang out there. Well, now there's like a new medium to this, and actually there's a great non-StarCraft community discussion going on right now with the fighting game community, because they've got a couple of guys that, let's just say, are very vocal. And there are other individuals who feel like they are actually bad for those who are trying to pave the way for the fighting game community. You know? And, like, you could look at this situation and say it's exactly the same. But the problem is that if Destiny represents himself as an individual, he is of an individual. And, I mean, I think the move from Quantic was probably the smartest move for both parties. I have a feeling that Destiny will find a team where sponsors are not going to matter, or he will just continue to be independent. But at this point in time, you know, I think it's probably better for everyone. And I would be willing to guess that he would say the exact same thing if he didn't already in his posts.
So please, if you're mad about something, stop supporting them, contact them, tell them that you're not going to support them. And if you're so fucking upset because they haven't publicly said that this person's going to get hung or something like that, take like 2 weeks to calm down. Go outside.
Pet a kitten.
Give esports a chance, man. Give it a fucking chance.
Well, someone's saying that argument doesn't work. And I'm not... I know it doesn't, right? Because we're going to have to adhere to the same rule, right? Because...
Well, the thing is, our community does have to mature, and we do have to meet those standards if we want to become mainstream. But just going to the sponsors isn't the way to make that happen.
You should go
to the teams and the players who you believe are behaving irresponsibly and tell them to fix that behavior instead of just getting them fired.
I think they were saying, you know, it wouldn't work because if you tried to just say, well, you know, from an athlete's point of view, in sports, that wouldn't work. It's like that we can use the internet as kind of a free pass, and we can't, because you know what? When you're live doing an interview on stage or you're interacting with another player at a major competition, like, that shit won't fly. I guarantee you any organizer, any tournament head is going to just not deal with that sort of thing at all. And I'm sure, like, as the industry continues to mature, like, that will change.
But I hope we don't have to have this conversation again, though.
Well, I mean...
We will.
I think it's actually, although people say that, you know, God, I've heard this again, I'm hearing it's again, it actually shows that this industry and this space is growing. It is maturing, that people are thinking about it. Because let me tell you, back in the Quake 3 days in like 1999, you know, we would just call Angel Munoz the fucking biggest douchebag on the planet, and we would post, we would fucking post that shit on the front page of Shaq.
Well,
yes, you know,
he did like, fail to pay out quite a
well,
few teams.
But the point is that you know, we were not held accountable for that sort of thing. Like, it was still very much a pitchfork mentality where it's like, yeah, you know, we are the community. And now people are expecting us, as we grow, to be held accountable. And you know what? I hope that everyone considers themselves to be accountable for their actions and not just the players, because that's just it. You know?
Yeah.
One guy makes all the noise, contacts a sponsor, and then he goes on a thread the next day and uses the same language, you know, to beat down another guy. Like, it's just not fair. So I won't stop using the F word, though. Want to take a quick break, come back, open up the phone lines? Okay.
Sounds good.
Yes.
Sounds good. I got one very, very important email that came in from Murray, though, that I want to read before we take a break. Murray sent an email this week to Inside the Game that said, it looks like my AOL email account was used to send out spam messages shortly after 2 a.m. last night. If you received this message, i.e. your spam filter did not block it, then please delete it. The email looks pretty suspicious because it does not have a subject line. Murray, we appreciate you contacting Inside the Game and letting us know. All I have to say to you is, why the fuck do you use AOL email? And with that, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll be back with more Inside the Game after this. Guys, don't go away. We are back. It's time for our second half of Inside the Game. Welcome back to episode 41. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines tonight and see how that goes. Hopefully well.
It's always high quality.
It usually is high quality. Yeah.
Usually high entertainment, that's for sure.
We'll see how it goes tonight. I was trying to think today of like a way to devise a system that someone could like at least on Twitter notify me that they have a question, maybe even referencing what they wanted to ask or talk about, and then give me their Skype name, and then that would somehow legitimize the people that would call in. But even more so, if someone decided to troll that way, then we could completely own him on Twitter, because he will have, you know, we will know his identity.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that'll work. I don't know if that'll work, but we'll We'll give it a chance. Let's go ahead and put the information out there. This is the portion of the show where you can call in, ask any question at all. Now, you know, originally the show was actually brought up to talk about the game, but we, of course, have expanded and talk about just about anything. But if you have a question about the game, we urge you to call in and ask any of our three pros. And
if you're going to troll, be fucking funny about it.
All right. Yep. It's going to be EG Control on the troll meter tonight. We're going to take our first call.
We'd screen him, though.
We've got David. David, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, DJ Wade. Hey, everyone. So I just wanted to ask about a phenomenon in competitive gaming about trash talking. And I played 1.6 Counter-Strike 1.6 competitively for a long time.
Expert.
And I would go.
You're an expert.
I would go to LANs, and I would meet people who said horrible, terrible things about me, and they were the nicest people in the world, and I became close friends with them. Is this something? I just wanted, like, what's your opinion on that phenomenon with online gaming, and is it unique to online gaming? And what do you guys think about that?
Can I take this?
Sure.
No, great. Go ahead. You got to go.
I am kind of the expert. It's a combination of just, like, the competitive stress. Like, a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people deal with competition, especially if they take it very seriously, by getting angry. It's very frustrating to lose. Pretty much anyone can relate to that. And some people get angrier than others when that happens. Plus the anonymity of the internet. Like, you're not looking a person in the face when you lose. It's just like, this is an entity that caused me a lot of pain and anguish. Let's be mean to them. But then, you know, in real life, you're just, like, you take away those stresses and that anonymity, and you're just a perfectly normal person.
And I'll come out and say, like, I played not competitive. I played 1.6, Warcraft 2. I mean, and I guess StarCraft, that's pretty much my only online computer console playing. And then I played the Xbox as well, but I don't even count that because that's, like, never before have I had a 7-year-old call me the things that I have on Xbox.
Yeah.
You know, that's possible. But, like, to a certain extent, I like it because, like Greg said, this is extreme competition. Like, gaming is plagued but also blessed by the fact that it's mostly masculine, like it's mostly guys, so the competition like element is extremely high there. And losing sucks, and losing to a guy you like on an opposing team or a guy who started the shit talking, that like makes it more fun but at the same time more emotional and anxiety ridden. Yep. So I think it's cool because it creates a more interactive and fun experience, but then there's the guys who take it too far. So we just got done talking about racism. We don't need to go into that. But then there's, like, the physical threats. My personal favorite story about that does involve Greg. And this is a good one. Because it's actually, it wasn't a physical threat, but Greg thought it was. So we were playing on the media events. And I beat him, one of the rare times that I did. And he was kind of yelling at me. And I was like, Greg, WCG's in, like, a week. I'm going to see you really soon. And he goes, oh, now you're physically threatening me?
I think I remember that, yeah.
It's going to be awkward. You're saying really mean stuff. He's like, yeah, you're right. That's why we're all such good friends, because we would do that. Like, Artosis, like, people don't know this. Or some do, I guess.
I wish we had recorded the media event.
Oh, man.
He was actually the worst.
We're talking about it. I love it.
Everyone fucking despised
it. I think I've heard Artosis actually say that Idra learned his BM from him. I'm pretty sure I've heard him say that.
From him and Skew. Like, I was a relatively nice person until I started playing with him.
Like, I didn't get to be
angry.
All your hate is going to the wrong person, people. Artosis is the guy you pull the pitchfork out on. Actually,
him and Skew and G5 and me. That Control, like, he wasn't angry, but he was a troll. He would win and he would poke you until you blew up. No, that was a terrible, terrible place. But it was awesome.
I think that I don't think that the smack talk's unique, to be honest. I just think that we have a more unique offering that makes it easier to do. And right. I'm thinking about the movie White Men Can't Jump, right? And I see Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson out on the court, and they're talking mad shit to their opponents. Their opponents are talking mad shit back and forth. And I'm pretty sure when, like, schoolyard ball came around, that moms weren't like, I hear those kids say some pretty nasty things to one another when they're out there dunking that basketball and that their hoop, you know. And I think that this, in sports, we're silly to not think some of the things that are said on the field that we never get to hear or occasionally are caught, right? Oh, yeah, if we had full mics, stuff. Right, exactly. What would happen, Idra? I'm sure that some guy thought of that one time, and then they're like, oh, God, this is a terrible idea. We can't do this. This is so bad. Like, these guys would be getting fined every 3 seconds, you know?
I have a story on the opposite. I almost lost it once at LAN at an MLG. I was tied up 1-1 with Last Shadow, and he proceeded to 9-10 racks me. I forget what map it was, but he proceeded to 9-10 racks me and knocked me out of the loser's bracket. And as soon as he beat me, he jumped up and did a giant fist pump and was like, fuck yeah! Fuck yeah! And then I was like, really, dude? You're going to 9-10 racks me and jump up like that and celebrate? I understand he was happy, but then after that happened, he came up to me and a bunch of guys who were sitting around just talking about strats and brewing on some build orders and just kind of going back and forth. Then he walks up and he's like, yeah, pain user, so you know why I did that 9-10 racks, right? And I was like, yeah, because you cheesed me out of the tournament. And then he's like, no. I know how you play, and I know you open standard, and that's why, because I understand your build order so well. That's why I 9-10 racks you. And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure you just blind 10 racks me in a best-of-three series, but I don't really want to hear your psychoanalysis. And then he was like, well, if you don't want to get better, that's fine. And then I was just like, and then I just walked off, like, literally.
I will cross you.
That's like the only time. But online, you can just chop up online shit talking to internet of anonymity, course. People hiding behind their aliases. Like on LAN, the competition's so high, and everybody's so respectful. Like we all respect each other at LAN. So it's very rare that unless two guys have like a long lasting history of crazy shit talk, then things maybe could get a little bit out of hand. But
Well, if Deezer shows up, I think he actually gets punched.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That's Deezer or Combat X, some of the things that they've said, it's just unforgivable.
They
don't care.
Money.
Well, it's more the things they've done, yeah. Like, ruining the stream, that's actually, like, means of income for a lot of people. And they've cost a lot of money, yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, last comment. I wish, you know, maybe the message could be out there. Like you already said, you know, shit talk's fun and everything, just maybe those few supercharged words people should just avoid completely, and then everyone can be happy, and we can have some
Shit
talk. We can be angry in a more respectful manner.
And you know what?
Exactly.
The moment that happens, dude, I'm going to saddle my fucking unicorn, man. It's going to start farting rainbows. I'm going to launch off into the sky. We're going to go to the perfect StarCraft utopian ladder world where everyone's I wish it could happen, but I agree, man. Thanks,
and the other
David.
Thing is, you know, every other gaming community apart from StarCraft 2 is like orders of magnitude worse
yes.
for that than StarCraft 2.
Yeah.
So
when you said you're a 1.6 player, I instantly thought back to the hilarious WCGs we just got done talking about, where it was like the StarCraft area, and then there was a space, and then there was the Counter-Strike area. And I remember even back in Brood War, we still had our monocles and top hats on. We'd be playing our games all dignified, and we'd hear, "You ate shit, motherfucker! Woo!" And we'd look over there and be like, "Oh shit! Like those guys are scary." It was the Counter Strike guys.
Yeah, Counter Strike guys don't play at all. Every Counter Strike guy I've been to.
David, thanks for your call, man. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Cheers.
Yeah, bye. All right.
Anytime you clutch in CS, or if somebody like aces, everything just goes bonkers. People start screaming at each other, standing up. It's entertaining though.
That got actually overcame by the fact that then at MLGs, we saw Gears of War players. And they're actually across the booth from each other, and they actually have a designated shit talker, the guy that...
He's the coach, shot. right, but he's...
All he does is point at the other team and go, "You ain't shit! You ain't shit!" And, like, the other team is a bunch of 13-year-olds, and their coach is this skinny little, like, submissive guy. That was funny. That was in Florida I watched that. I was, like, blown away.
Ready for another call? Let's take another David. Oh, whoa. Hello, David?
Hello? Oh, hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Can't believe I'm on. Okay. So, I just have two quick questions. First of all, I'm only 14, so I'm part of the newer generation. I only got one with SC2, so I can't play the whole hipster role that everyone else can. But I'm trying to get my friends into StarCraft 2, and I really like the game, and it's pretty much my main source of media entertainment. And I try to get my friends into it, but They kind of get lost. I try to show them data daily.
Do they think you're a nerd, David?
Huh?
Do they think you're a nerd?
Oh, dude, I go to a school of like 400 people. Everyone's a nerd, man.
Okay. So that's good. But like, what do they play? Call of Duty?
We might actually be talking to the young Greg. Just like.
Yeah. What do they play, David?
Most of my friends are more scholarly nerds. They don't really. Some of them don't play video games.
So you know what you do? You get them to play each other.
Yeah.
Because they obviously both suck, right?
Yeah.
Right.
If you get them to play each other, and then you create that competition between those two, and then you, like, teach them a little bit each way, that's how you're going to do it, man.
Yeah, but StarCraft 2 is a $60 game, man.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
You're right.
Well,
David does have a point, man. Just to get his buddies involved, he might have to drop $120 or at least another 60.
Your question was, how do I get them involved without buying StarCraft because it's too expensive?
Hey, man, I'm poor. I'm 14 years old.
When's your birthday, David?
Son, when I was your age, I had a paper route. I worked for a pizza place.
Watch a school uphill.
Get a job, sir. Get a job.
5 miles of snow.
When's your birthday, David? Seriously.
Okay, my birthday's actually in 6 days.
Well, dude, problem solved, moms and dads. I need a copy of StarCraft. You can buy it digitally online. Let's do it.
I have extremely Asian parents. They don't give money for my birthday. They take me to dinner. Oh, that was good dinner.
Hey, David, don't worry. Guess what? The money comes later in life when you get red envelopes like crazy. You watch. It'll come.
Chinese New Year, but I actually put all that in a bank account, and I try not to use any of it, so...
I understand. Well, fine. You don't even have one other friend that's got a StarCraft 2 account?
I've got one, but he doesn't go to my school, so it's hard to, like, infect everyone else around
him. All right. Keylogger on his computer. Get his BNET information. Log in. He won't know. He doesn't play as much as you do.
Have you tried watching a big event with them? Like, sit down with a couple friends and maybe throw on a GSL and get some good tastosis going?
Oh yeah, they like the tastosis banter, but I try to show them a game, and there's a DT, and the whole game they're just like, dude, what is that? Why aren't they killing the DT? And I kept trying to explain that it was cloaked. They were like, why is it cloaked? Do they have to like research technology or something? And it's very complicated.
Sounds like you just need to like record this and start making videos. Then you could buy like 1,000 copies of StarCraft.
I thought you said they were scholarly. You should just explain it to them one time, and they should get it, right?
Yeah.
They cannot see
this one.
All right. Yeah. Well,
maybe they're not so scholarly, David.
I'm going to make one suggestion, and that is that you go to your parents, say, Mom and Dad, I know that you probably want to take me to dinner, and that's great. We can do that if you'd like, but I'd really appreciate it if you'd get me a copy of StarCraft 2. And if they ask you why, say, Mom and Dad, don't ask questions. Just listen
or,
to the
I'll tell them that four young...
tiny increments of money from them over a course of time where they won't recognize it. So, like, every day, just take $1 or $2 from your mom's purse. She won't notice that. She'll just figure she lost it somewhere. And after about 30 days, you're going to have enough money for StarCraft.
Jeff, I think you're teaching me how to be a thief.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a good thing.
It's not stealing if it's your mom.
Okay. Because it's my mom. Well, I guess I steal from her anyway. She pays for everything,
it's family,
right?
Is your mom stealing from your dad?
Wow, that's deep, Jeff. That's deep.
Okay,
all right.
I don't want to spend too much time.
All right,
I'm sure
David.
Callers want to call.
Yes,
have a good one.
Thank you, man. All right. See, 14 years old.
He's
awesome. He can form complete sentences. He actually had.
He's better than half our callers.
I mean,
it's great.
Unfortunately, he's poor and can't. I like.
No,
know,
no. He
I
has
understand.
Money. He's just refusing to spend it.
That's
actually like,
true.
Super responsible.
He did say, "It's like, well, we." I am sort of responsible, so thank you, David. So far, the Davids. I got to see if there's any other Davids calling.
We're two for two on Davids.
Well so far.
They're not. Yes, we are two for two. So I'm going to try to keep it up, man. I don't know. Dick Brown, I'm not sure if I'm with that one. Richard, I'm sorry if your name is legit. My apologies ahead of time, but let's do this guy right here. We've got Philip on the line. Hello, Philip. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Oh, nice. Nice. Okay, hey.
He's got to have something good.
What, did your girlfriend walk in naked? What's going on here?
This dude.
Yeah.
Yo. What's
hey,
up?
Can you guys hear me?
We can. We can. Hello. What's your question?
Okay, my question is... oh, crap. Wait. It's like... Okay, anyways, look, I want to make 2 points. One, Destiny is like the South Park of the StarCraft II community. And, you know, I feel... If there is no room for mature content in the StarCraft II community, you're going to lose a lot of viewers.
Just to add on to what you're saying, sort of from the South Park, because, right, this is like a show that offends people. This is a show that is obviously explicitly warning or is tagged with a warning all the time. And Destiny did message me and he said, hey, just one thing I wanted to make sure people understood is that he's only ever used this controversial language on his explicit language, age-gated stream on Team Liquid, and that he's never used the language in live tournaments or other players during live events or during interviews without clearing it with attorney organized to make sure it was appropriate first. He didn't want me to at least get that out. So, you know, in that regards, like, sure, there are still people who to this day bitch about South Park. Oh my God, I can't believe what they did to Britney, yeah. You know?
I don't know. Another thing is when South Park is being super offensive, it generally tends to be like making a point. Like they're trying to be offensive in order to say something else about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Destiny, he's kind of just being kind of dumb.
Yeah, being dense. But, I mean, I'd like to just raise the point, like, maybe Team Liquid could take and put maybe in the bottom right a little section with a spoiler tag that says, you know, adult content streams. And
I think
then
they
it's
do
like,
have,
you know what you're getting into, stop
of...
crying, and then, you know, 25-year-olds can have a laugh and drink beer and watch, you know,
hold
bullshit.
On, but that's the thing.
Too far. Adult content is fine. Like, this show would be considered adult content. We cuss up a storm. We talk about sexual references. That's fine. There's going to be language that even in a rated R movie, unless it's like a profile piece. I mean, okay, I guess movies is a bad example because they do actually blur that line. But here, like, we're in a fledgling market where if I say that word, as established as I am, as a part of this community as I am, I immediately alienate myself from a huge chunk of people.
Yeah,
and if
that
I'm
is
doing
very
it in the
true.
Name of like, well, it's on my
as
private
a matter of
stream.
Fact,
there's a lot of people
just,
really like
Orb,
it.
Like, if you picture Orb using his racist language, like the N-word,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you were a proud black man and if you were at a tournament and Orb was casting you, I mean, would you even, you know, I'd take a walk, you know? I guess that is a good point.
And by the way, on TL, you can set your language rating to everyone mature or explicit. So it's on there. I'm just not sure where that's actually reflected.
Jeff, so, what do you think about that?
Maybe you like can...
Yeah, it's on there. It's on your stream. And it's not the most... there's some streams that are better than others. I think when you go to Destiny stream for the first time, it actually says this is for 18+, and you have to click, like, OK or something like that. And that's fine and great. But that, for me, that doesn't actually act as, like, a protective wall of now I can use any word humanly possible or say anything I want. Because you're still going to be held accountable for it if you're attached to stuff. So if Destiny picks up a personal sponsor from TT Esports, he could actually put up as many walls as he wants, but as long as he says something really bad, if someone... Like, I mean, if he says fuck and somebody writes a letter and is like, I don't like that he uses that F word, nobody's going to actually care about that, right? Kingston doesn't give a shit if they hear that Idra uses the F word.
Right. If I can interject, maybe one thing that teams can do on their websites is have like a complaint box. You know what I mean? And it could be like, you know, a way to make sure that sponsors don't get hit directly with a bunch of gripes from, you know, 16, 17-year-olds. Maybe they could have like a website. If you have a gripe, boom, put it here, post a picture, whatever, you know? Maybe that would
They've got to have some sort of contact info listed on their websites.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you really wanted to get in touch with the team, you probably could. Do you really think we need like a complain box though?
That's like inviting it. I think
that's inviting a whole
We actually have a complain yeah, box right. for inside the game. Just
really?
Tweet, it's yeah, just tweet at pain user and all. Just everything. If you got a problem, just tweet him. It's all good.
I'll handle it in a very professional manner.
Exactly. So, all right, Philip.
Right.
Thank you for your call, man.
Yep.
Take care. All right.
People are like posting my Twitter now.
Dude, you
opened the floodgates.
Keep acting angry, dude. They're gonna follow you, man. It was just a way to get you more followers, paying you.
Okay. Yeah. I already got one. There's one.
There you
Thanks,
go.
James.
See? There you go. Okay, let's take this guy because his name is awesome. Hello, Marcus. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's your question?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm calling in from Sweden, and I was wondering what you guys think about how Sweden ranks up against other nations in esports, and especially StarCraft 2.
Well, what do you mean? Like, for hosting tournaments and supporting esports in general, or like the quality of the players, or what?
As a nation?
Well, supporting esports in general, like...
Yeah, I...
Esports does... Or Sweden does really good.
Yeah.
Well, DreamHack, obviously. And the fans are pretty devoted to it. They have a big gaming scene. It's up there.
And this is true across almost every single game that I've played competitively in my whole life. The Swedes are always... They always have representation in the top 10.
Yeah.
Good representation.
There's actually...
Every game. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, obviously, your culture is... extremely supportive of gaming. You guys are all super cool about it. I mean, I couldn't be more happy with the Swedes.
That was Sweden.se, by the way, for those that are wondering. I figured the appropriate webpage for discussion about Sweden was Sweden.se, the official gateway to Sweden.
More importantly, how do you guys feel about us?
Well, wait, because I gotta say,
we want to invite Europeans to talk about America.
There's a little known fact about the Swedes. Not very many people know this, but once I learned about it, of course, it made a lot of sense. Is that the water supplies that feed both Korean water and Swedish water are actually one and the same? I don't know how this actually happened. It is the same. So whatever is in the water, Greg, is obviously what is propelling these players to be the best that they can be.
How does that work? They're, like, kind of far apart.
I don't know, Greg. I'm not a scientist, Finnish, Greg.
Something about Scandinavia, because apparently Finnish and Korean are actually really similar languages. I saw that somewhere.
What?
Yeah. It's the most random thing ever, but I don't know. There's some kind of connection. Korea was actually part of Scandinavia and just floated all the way around.
By the way, I'm totally trolling. This nothing to do. I have no idea.
Oh, God damn it. I guess that makes up for you thinking the flash picture was real last year.
Yes. Payback, finally.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Sweden's good, man.
Okay, awesome.
The best players outside of Korea, by far, and even in certain examples inside Korea, DreamHack is... on the rise and one of the best tournaments you can attend or be a part of. The country is awesome. The women are beautiful. What is there not to like?
Okay, then we hope to see all of you again soon.
Me too, Marcus. Thank
Maybe
you.
You'll Thanks see us sooner than you yep. think.
All right. That was good. That was good. Even the dramatic pauses in there as well. I'm going to let's do this one right here. We've got Nate on the line. Hello, Nate. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hello?
Hello, sir.
Hold on one second. I have to turn my volume. Hey, I have a question for Idra. So, sorry, I'm late eating. When I read your bio a long time ago, I saw that you dropped out from RPI to become a professional gamer. And this is when you're, I guess, the best foreigner brewer. I'm actually going to RPI next year. I'm wondering why you decided to drop out, and if there's any advice to give me, I go on RPI.
I didn't drop. I dropped out halfway through senior year in high school. I was going to go to RPI had I not done that. And I just dropped out because programming was what I wanted to do, and I got the offer to go, or I won the tournament and won the offer to go join Eastro in Korea.
I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. My only other question, and this is just... I don't know if you care me asking a second question.
Go for it, quickly, yeah.
It's a little weird. What?
Go ahead.
It's a little weird. I mean, I think, like, for me, I picked up the game. It's StarCraft 2, and I was, like, you know, Masters up, trying it all. And I think there's a lot of people, like, if I'll play a match with someone in Masters, I'll check their profile and their career, and I'll see, oh, they've been in Masters for the past 5 seasons. What do you think the role of intelligence plays in gaming? And how do you think, or why do you think there's so many people that Masters that plateau?
I don't think it's actually that big, at least general intelligence. Like, there's lots of idiots who are really good at the game. There's a specific kind of intelligence, I guess, like how you deal with strategies and tactics and all that. But I think the more important thing is, like, knowing how to practice and understanding how to get good at something and work ethic and all that. General intelligence, as it applies to, like, school or doing another kind of job that... not particularly relevant at all, I don't think.
It's just another quality. Like, being really smart helps, but it's not a mandatory element to playing this game at a high level.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah, I guess.
Cool. Thanks for asking my questions.
No problem, Nate. Have a good one.
Peace out.
Peace. Someone changed their name to "My name is Marcus." Now pick up my call.
Hold on. There's a good question. There's a good question in chat. Is it true that Huck drinks a shot of maple syrup before every match? And yes, yes, he does.
Really?
Yes, he
does. I know that, that guy that's been trolling us is probably calling you right now.
Yeah. Which guy?
Let's give him a shot.
Which guy?
The guy that calls every time.
Is he? I think he uses sometimes telephone numbers and sometimes Skype accounts.
If you can find him, I would like to hear.
I'll just start taking some telephone numbers then.
Okay.
All right. We've got area code 801 on the line. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. We might have a winner, Jeff. Hello, area code 801. How does it happen, man?
Is this on his phone, though?
Do you like, yeah, you pick up your phone, and then he hung up.
It's like, oh, shit, that's me, fuck.
Epic.
All right.
He's watching the show, like, in the background somewhere.
Area code 616. Hello, sir. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's your question?
Hey, I had a question about, like, obsing and, casting tiles in StarCraft 2 compared to, like, Rune War. Like, as Kespa comes into StarCraft 2, the way they presented those games on, like, OGN and stuff, I just really liked it. I mean, some of it has to do with, like, I think Paney just said earlier in the show, like, they can just make anything exciting. But, sometimes they would, like, hide some information, like, in PvP, a guy would, like, hide some Stargates and then they'd reveal.
Did you send in an email?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Is this Brandon?
Yeah,
Brandon.
We're
going
to talk about that, I think, right?
Yeah, we actually had it on the docket. So,
shit.
Yeah, yeah. But it's an interesting question, right? So you basically said that, he wrote me like a 3-page email. So it was condensed down. No. So the real quick of it is, you know, in Brood War, there was limited information that was provided from the game, even to the observer and even to the casters and even to the audience, right?
Oh, yeah.
Partially, this was because of Brood War itself, but also this was because they lacked that information. They made it a part of the show. In comparison, now, where literally everything is, like, in front of your face, like, take this production tab. Here you go. Units. How much gas they're getting. Rawr. That it sort of takes away from some of the suspense that Brood War built, whether it was intentional or not.
Is that
about accurate, Brandon? I mean, is that?
Yeah, and I mean, it goes. I mean, even stuff as small as like eggs and Brood War. Like, I think there's a really famous game between like Stork and Effort where like 5 billion Ultralisks spawned like right as he's breaking all of his Funkins, and everyone's like freaking out because. It's just this amazing moment where you realize, oh, shit, he's actually going to hold it and win.
Sure.
Yeah. I think that's actually a great point. Like,
yeah.
And supply as well, the production tab, the units tab. I think that all that readily available information just really takes away from the excitement of a cast. And I would love to see some casting done where, like, in the fashion that he mentioned, with some really talented observers who can hide buildings for a little bit, you know, don't hide them to the point where it's like, oh, you go to the Dark Shrine and there's like already DTs on the map, but you know, you don't know right away. So it's more of a surprise to you as a viewer when you see that player has transitioned into Dark Templar, as opposed to like, oh, there's the Dark Shrine. Gonna wait 2 minutes now. Probably gonna see some DTs in a second. You know, it's just not nearly as exciting that
Jeff,
way.
You are gonna make a comment, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this actually in the past. I think it's a really cool subject. The bottom line is that I think it would be better for storytelling. I think it would make things more exciting. One of the biggest things for me was like carriers and PVT back in Brood War. They used to have a real oh fuck kind of element to them, both for the Terran player but also for the audience because all of a sudden there's 4 carriers there. But in StarCraft 2, you'll notice every time you cast, if the production tab's not up for a second, you're getting yelled at to bring it up. Like, good observers these days are the guys that kind of cycle through and show everything. So the way we've been conditioned, we being the proverbial StarCraft 2 audience, is that we have all the information and we like it. If a tournament wants to announce that they're going to do this older style broadcast and then take a stab at that, they're running a risk, and I encourage them to do that because maybe people would prefer it. But as it is right now, you can't just revert back to that, because people will actually, it'll become a distraction. They'll complain the whole time.
Yeah, people have been conditioned to just know everything, and particularly the production tab. Like, I definitely think it would be more exciting, although I'm not sure, because like Jeff said, everyone, they complain if you don't have the production tab up. They like having that information, and it might just be people like not really knowing what's good for them. They might actually find it more enjoyable, better show, if they didn't have that. But it's hard to actually make it happen when everyone's just demanding you give them that information and it's so readily available.
You know, the other thing I just want to point out is that I made a comment that whether it was intentional or not, right, that OGN and some of these other leagues, like, that this is kind of how they presented the information. Because we do know that in the later stages of Brood Wars, it did become very important that suddenly they were able to add things like a supply count, like a gas and mineral income, and how much they had. Now, they never had a production tab per se, but I don't know if Brood War would have been presented differently if it would have had the information, or if that was just a result of the design of the game, and now we are evolving. So it might even be a case of nostalgia sort of. You know, it was so good like that, but that was all they had to work with, and even they were trying to get more information out to the people. You know,
think about a football game broadcast. It used to just be literally, there's the football game. Now, they can actually project in the yellow line where the first down is. Like, stats are popping off of players graphically that obviously, like, people like that stuff, and that's the direction. More information is good. So I think there might be an element of nostalgia to this. Like, we do think we want less information, and it makes it more exciting. But at the end of the day, there might be, like, the league that actually is just like, nah, fuck it, we're going to keep the information, and then people gravitate to that. So,
like you said, Brood War towards the end was moving towards that. They did add on the supply, the gas, the mineral counter. And, like, they were trying to move towards that. They were trying to put out more information. And more often than not, I'm not sure how often they actually on purpose hid buildings to make it surprising.
Right.
I don't really know how much of that was intentional and how much it was just like, it's a really hectic game. There's a lot of
so much shit going on.
They don't see it, or they messed up. So I don't know. It doesn't really feel like Brood War. It feels like Brood War is heading towards that, and people really like the information in StarCraft 2.
I mean, so maybe do you feel that the tools are valuable from a spectator standpoint, because I feel like they're great for like replay analysis.
For understand what's going on, me personally, I definitely prefer to have the information, but I watch games mostly as a learning experience. Like, I only really watch certain players who I think I can learn something from, and then when I watch, I try and figure out what they're doing that makes them so good. I'm not really watching it to be like, oh my god, what a good show.
Yeah.
Right. I think we need the information because, quite frankly, if StarCraft does get elevated to the level that everyone wants to see it elevate to, you know, stats are going to start becoming a big part of the game, and all that information can be scraped, and the fact that it's presentable in the game and it can be presentable outside of the game is likely going to become very important, and already is to a lot of people out there, whether it just starts with a basic win loss, you know, race percentage on this map, suddenly it turns into average harvesters created, you know, like average unspent, etc., as it spans over the career of a player. So, you know, I don't think it's bad to ever have too much information, but I certainly can respect the sort of theory that, yes, it has changed the way that StarCraft II is presented. So,
good question, man.
Yeah, really very good question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Brandon,
thank you,
I appreciate the call, man. Take care.
Oh, if I could say one more thing real quick?
Yes, quick.
I go to college in Western Michigan. I just want to say I go to a lot of bar crafts and stuff around here, and we're all... we all love you, Idra, and, you know, you got some...
Like Western Michigan University?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I took a few classes there back in high school, so that's really cool. I've mentioned in interviews that I'm from Kalamazoo, but I never hear anything about, like, from the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I just wanted to say that, you know, that's awesome. You probably get a lot of hate, but here, we all love you.
All right, well, thanks, sir. Appreciate
it. Thanks, man. Really nice call. Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, dude. I'm going to take this guy's call. He keeps changing his name so that we'll pick up. So Milo better not disappoint. All right, Milo, here's your chance, man. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's your question? Oh, God, Milo. You went through all that work. Milo, let me give you five more seconds. Hello, Milo. Hello, sir.
All right.
Welcome.
I was wondering about, like, did you guys talk about quantic absorbing file yet?
We mentioned it, yeah. Did you have any comments you wanted to make on it?
Well, not really. I just want to know if you talked about it.
Yes.
We did. I mean, we didn't really talk about that aspect of it. We kind of segued into the Destiny thing. What do you think we should talk about in particular about Quantic absorbing Bile?
I wondered how they could actually afford to get all those guys.
Well,
like some people were kind of joking that, like,
to my knowledge, they still have the two Google employees that were helping out Team Vile, and I think they're both still a part of Quantic. I think they're just more long-term partners now, if I'm not mistaken. But I would imagine that for a while, the Google guys, whatever situation that they had set up before with Vile, will probably, either if they're funding it out of their own pocket or if they have some other sponsor set up, they'll probably continue to subsidize that portion of the team. But at some point, you've got to think that they're going to have some cuts. I mean, you just can't support a roster that large and keep all the players happy. I mean, I'm really curious to see how it'll play out.
I imagine what happened. They're either going to blow off everyone except the big names and just let them play on the tag, or, yeah, they'll just cut them. That's a lot of people.
I have another theory.
Uh-oh.
They're going to slowly, much like that one video game where the thing rolls around and collects everything on the planet and eventually the planet itself, Katamari. I think Quantic is actually just going to continue to absorb teams and grow the roster until they have a motherfucking monopoly on the entire scene. And they're like, you want Greg? You want Quantic Idra to go to that tournament? You got to pay me $1,000. Boom! That's going
to
happen.
You want to have anyone at your tournament, you have to, yeah.
Mark Faraz is going to own StarCraft II by the players.
So it sounds like, by the way, caller, and I heard a lot of people actually talking about this. So two employees at Google, Ian Gulliver and Stephen Gunn, the two got involved with the Vile roster about a year ago, and due to their love to esports, financially and mentally supported the team's player and their build-up to success. So I'm not sure if they – I mean, it's quite possible that they are now involved with the Quantic franchise as well. So maybe it is viable that they're able to sustain that many people. I don't know. I don't know. Anything else, Milo? You went through a lot of trouble, man, to get this call picked up. So I want to.
Any shout outs?
I was wondering, like, what if you guys know what happened to Inca. Like, I think he retired, but
yeah,
what's up with him? He has a real job now and stuff.
Yeah.
Wait, you know what he's doing?
American Inca or the Korean Inca?
Korean Inca.
American.
Sorry.
Wait, which one?
American Inca.
Yeah, the American one. Quantic Inca.
Okay.
It's pretty easy to confuse Korean and American. I can understand that.
He's got a job.
He parted ways with Quantic. And I'm not really going to speak on it unless he wants to address it personally. But that's my understanding of what happened.
All right. All right, Milo, thank you. Have a good one. All right, Milo didn't really.
I want our troll week.
I can't tell if that was a troll or an idiot.
I'm trying to find him, Jeff. All right, we got area code 727. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was wondering if you guys thought that the frequency of tournaments actually hindered the evolution of gameplay.
Like the...
Wait, say again?
No, it hinders some people's play, like the people who actually go around to every tournament, but more often than not, it's the Koreans pushing the metagame, and most Korean players don't go to every big tournament, like short of MC, maybe only MC. They usually go to like a couple of events just because they don't have the sponsorship or the team backing to get sent everywhere.
Alarik and FD and MMA have been doing a good job hitting a lot of tournaments in the foreign scene.
And most of them aren't really at the forefront. Like, you can tell Messi's play lagging behind a lot. Alive has his own unique style that is pretty unique. And then MMA, he wins on his mechanics and just, like, being good, not really on being ahead of the meta game.
You know how they say, man, mo money, mo problems. You know how we do.
I just want to comment that it will kind of be interesting with the release of Heart of the Swarm and kind of when it will probably drop on us, guessing it's going to be sometime in like the third quarter of the year, is that it's probably going to come down, or it's probably going to be released like right as the sort of calm before the storm typically there's these 3 months, which are slowly shrinking, where there's not as many esports events. You know, you got major holidays around November, December, and then into January, usually guys are ramping up. People are putting their budgets together. So if the game gets released right around this time, I feel like at the fourth quarter of 2012, we're just going to have like a massive explosion of sort of, you know, of course, it's going to be Heart of the Swarm, so it's going to change anyway. But, you know, I would guess that that's the longest stretch that doesn't have any tournament play in it. Of course, it's made up with a lot of online play, so.
That's the only stretch where there's no tournaments. Like,
yeah.
December's supposed to be our month off. Don't do that to us.
Yeah, don't. No, I don't want to do that to you, Greg. But I don't think that I think it's probably helping just the growth of the scene. It may be hindering the evolution because people aren't spending as much time practicing, but shit, man, people are streaming anyway. You know, so I don't know if it
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think the abundance of tournaments is hurting gameplay. I think if anything creates a scenario where like a tournament's not going to do as well because it doesn't bring as much to the table as the 10 other tournaments do. Whereas in the beginning, every tournament had like this novelty factor where it was like, another tournament? You don't say! But now it's been like 2 years and we're like, you know, what do you guys offer? Like, so I think there's a little bit more of that happening. Like every tournament's not this glorious record-setting event anymore. Now it's kind of like, what do you bring to the table? Why am I watching you?
I guess I meant more like, I guess you answered it. I guess I meant more like, does it hinder actual strategy evolution? Like, are we just going to see Marine Tank Medivac against Zerg for the rest of the known universes because nobody has contact with it?
There's always a lot of people who aren't in the tournaments who are practicing and trying to figure out how to beat the top dogs who do have to travel around. So they're going to come up with stuff, and then either the top players are going to have to adapt to it or they won't be the top players anymore, so. There's always going to be people practicing and trying to figure out new stuff.
But, I mean, that being said, I'm sure the top players as well are, you know, they're competing at the highest level. So I think they're innovating on the fly as well, you know? It's not like they're just sitting stagnant and trying to win tournaments.
People don't innovate in the middle of tournament games, like, very
well, no. I mean, like, in the short time they have to practice for big events.
Yeah. You're less practice means you're less likely to come up with that kind of stuff. So it's kind of a valid point in that, yeah, if MC has said himself, like, he goes to every tournament, he fell behind the meta game, that was the reason for his slump. He wasn't as good anymore because he didn't have time to practice and keep up. But there's always going to be people to fill that role and to keep pushing the game forward.
His was on the tail end of, like, a 2-month binger, though, where he was like,
yeah.
And Korea travel is crazy hard.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for your call.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Thanks, dude.
I'm sorry you didn't get what you want, Jeff, but it's time to bring on the one and only.
You tried, Weed. I appreciate it.
I did. And actually, we had a ton of callers tonight. I wish I could take every single one of your calls.
We have a good audience, I think.
Literally, there is like 3 pages of calls. I can't even select some of them. So, sorry, but this guy always gets a pass into the show. He's proven over 40 episodes that he's still got it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Inside the Games, Goatlust. Hello, sir. What's up?
Oh, yeah? Not a great deal. What's up with you fellas?
Not much, man. Just closing out the show. It's about time, you know, that Goatlust came on. So
yep.
We're ready, man.
Oh, fuck yeah. All right.
Is that actually you excited? I can't tell.
I think it was. I really think it was.
Did you hear the swoosh of wind? Is the
It was a pretty medium excitement, I'd have to say. Yeah. Anyhow, my question this week is for Pain User and Wheat.
All right.
Yeah, let that sink in for a second.
Yeah, it's sinking in.
Prepare yourselves.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
It's a rare occurrence. Anyhow, as far as I know,
yes.
You two weren't big into Brood War. I mean, like, Jeff and Idra obviously were fucking deep into it. And you transitioned into StarCraft II from, you know, other games. You were into this whole esports growth, all that sort of stuff. And I'm just wondering, what were the signs that, you know, sort of led you into investing time into StarCraft II? And, you know,
it's a great question.
Did you see this coming, you know, the growth that StarCraft II experienced? Because certainly me, you know, watching Brood War and all that stuff, I didn't expect it to, you know, blow up like
sure.
it did.
So, actually, in 2002, I attended my first international event. At this time, I was casting almost exclusively Quake 3, and obviously, I didn't go to a tournament that didn't have Brood War, right? So, I was fully aware of Brood War. I had played, you know, StarCraft single player, played Warcraft, Warcraft 2, but, you know, from a competitive standpoint, it was FPS, FPS, FPS. When I met Tasteless in 2004, it was kind of Tasteless who opened up my eyes to StarCraft, because I saw this kid who was so fucking passionate about the game, and the way that he would talk to me about it was basically how I ended up learning, like, not only the significance of Brood War, because obviously I understood the significance of it in the culture of Korea, but just how important it was to, like, global esports and, you know, the growth of esports. So, I mean, honestly, from that perspective, I owe it all to Tasteless, you know, for originally opening my eyes, like, way back in the day. Now, from that point, I never played Brood War, but I would always watch it at these competitions, and that's how I got into Brood War. So when StarCraft II came out, obviously it was like, oh my god, I want to play this game. And then it was just a matter of, like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, this is more fun than even an FPS could be. And it wasn't hard, just after sort of falling in love with playing the game, to sort of connect the dots there. And you know, that was that it was an easy decision at that point. Pain User, what about you?
For me, I played both FPS and RTS at a fairly competitive level, not pro, but pretty much every one. I mean, starting with original Warcraft, Warcraft 2, Brood War, all the way up. And then I think myself and a lot of other people were kind of waiting for a game to sort of bring everything together from a competitive standpoint in esports. And I had been following the esports scene forever. With 1.6 and Quake, and I think once you, like, reach a level in those games and get to a high competitive level, I developed this kind of admiration and awe for professional Quake 3 and Quake 2 players, and also Brood War players. So I started watching OSL and MSL and Pro League and just scrubbing VODs for years before I even knew StarCraft II was going to be a big thing. So I fell in love with competitive Brood War and Brood War casting as well. I used to watch all kinds of YouTube VODs, even though I realize now that most of the English-speaking commentators had absolutely no clue what they were talking about. I still watched a lot of it, and I watched a lot of the Korean stuff as well, so kind of fell in love with the broadcasting aspect of it. And upon the announcement of StarCraft II, I started boot camping a lot of Icy Cup Brood War, and I got to C+ with Terran and Zerg, and B- for one season with Terran in the span of, I don't know, four or five months. So I didn't want to come into StarCraft II with no tools, and I knew that playing Brood War at least a decently high level would help me out a lot in StarCraft II. So yeah, I mean, and that's when I actually fell in love with Brood War, because I played Brood War my whole life. But getting into iCup and playing competitive ladder and starting to actually get good is when I really started to enjoy RTS games at a high level. And then when StarCraft II came out, I just went balls out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you fall asleep, yeah, Goat Bust? What the fuck?
So
you,
so do you think there was more or less a big gap in like just that RTS space, because I mean there hadn't been anything big since Warcraft 3.
I mean, you can only play Company of Heroes so many times or before you just like
I mean there was all those people in Company of Heroes, there was all these people in Zero Hour.
Yeah,
you know,
but the problem is that a lot of people don't equate to esports games. And like once I started playing deathmatch games, although I play a shitload of console games and whatnot, I play them because I enjoy them, not because I believe that they are going to be esports, you know, behemoths. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference, is that, like, when it came to multiplayer online games, I basically got all snobbish, and I would only try games that I felt, like, had any sort of competitive merit or future.
That's such a good point. We, like, Warsaw, one of my favorite games of all time. I mean, probably one of the games I got the best at in Warsaw, with a competitive community of, like, 100 people. And that's what always sucked for me. And the allure of StarCraft II was the fact that I had a fairly good concept that it was going to be a competitive platform. And to me, that was what was super important. But the thing that just kind of overarching theme was that I knew that a ton of people were going to be playing StarCraft II. And that's what was important to me. Because all the games that I'd fallen in love with previously, like Natural Selection and Warsaw, they had such small communities that you couldn't really test your mettle as a top competitive player just because they were so small. So it was really hard to compete at a high level because there just weren't enough people playing those games. So I think StarCraft II was really the first game and in that genre of competitive games that had a really good platform, like Brood War, Quake, Warsaw, games of that nature. I was never really into like the Call of Duty style or like Company of Heroes or even the Red Alerts. I mean, I played all the Red Alerts growing up too, and I loved them, but they're just not a competitive platform. They're not balanced in a way that you can compete.
All right. Well, Goatlust, hopefully that
thanks for your answer.
Questions. Yes, as always, thank you for the great question, sir.
Yep.
All
indeed.
Right. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Take care. Peace.
Thanks, sir.
Warsaw is awesome, by the way.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. Someone said they had to Google it. Warsaw.net. It's great.
Just look up like a Warsaw skill shot video or frag video, and you'll just be like, "What is going on here?"
Mind blown a little bit. The people can actually play that game. Now that we put Idrin in control to sleep,
yeah, that was actually really interesting. Oh, because I have absolutely zero experience with that perspective, having not really played a lot of other games, and I just played StarCraft II because that was the natural evolution of what I did. So to actually hear about what causes you to go into different games, and if you consider the competitive aspect, if you think, like, did you actually think StarCraft II was going to be the dominant esport, is that why it was interesting?